The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Uri Nidam, Hashem Yishmeru V'Chayehu, in honor of all the members of the Minyan, all the members of the Daf HaYomi, and in honor of the Rabbi, Tiskel Mitzvot. May he continue to succeed. Aslaha V'Arvaha V'Chol Ma'asi Yadav. Amen.
Gemara Nedarim, Daf Chav Zayin. Today's Daf is being studied. The Adin Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tenehenu B'Gan Eden. Amen. Today's Daf is being studied. Refuah Shilema, Yosef Ben Sarah, Sarah Bat Rachel, Shlomo Ben Miriam, Tinok Ben Dina, Shaul Hai Gavriel Ben Sarah, Inna Referen Lahim, Inna Referen Lahim, Inna Referen Lahim, Fata Nefesh, Fata Gufu, Atam Kurab Alavo. We begin today's daf on Chav Vav Amud Bet. Three lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of a sugya where we had a machloket between Rabbah and Rava. I have to explain the machloket Bet Shammai Bet Hillel and our Mishnah. The case in the Mishnah was fellow saw people eating te'anim, figs, and he came along and said, Kulichem Asurim, all these figs are going to be asur to you like a korban. Then he found out that his father was part of the group. So the Mishnah says, according to Bet Shammai, you split it. Everybody else remains as soon as his father becomes mutar. According to Bet Hillel, neder shemutar miksato, mutar kolo. Once already his father's excluded from the neder, everybody else is excluded as well. So Rabbah understood the machloket was talking about a case of Mishaneh. Mishaneh means where he changed. What do you mean he changed? When they asked him, when they told him, hey, did you know your father was in the group? He said, oh, I didn't know my father was in the group. If I would have known, I would have said, Te'enuim, lezeh, velazeh, velazeh, asurim, velabiv mutar. So that's a case of shinui. So where he changed his language, that's where already have the machloket Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. However, where he was mahamid, which means where he said, no, I would have said the same language, kulechem asurim, I just would have added, Chutzme Abiv, so that's already everybody agrees that Abiv Mutar Vikulam Asurim, because he's just explaining what he said. You're not retracting on any Neder, it's not Neder Shutar Miksato. He's saying, my father was never part of the Neder. That's the way Rabbah understood. Rabbah understood differently. He said, in the case of Mishaneh, where a person changes, then already Kulam is Mutar. Everybody holds, everybody is Mutar, which means Ben Abiv and Ben Ahirim. And the logic is, because when he's Mishaneh, when he says Zev and Azev, means he's retracting on his original Achirim, right? Because he didn't want to say Achirim, why? Kulichem Asurim, I mean. When he said Kulichem Asurim, he didn't want to say that, because it sounds like for a second that he's including his father. And therefore, he didn't want people to think for a second that Kulichem is including his father, until he has a chance to explain himself that it's excluding his father. He didn't want to say that terminology at all. So therefore, when he says, and what, and his father wasn't excluded in the first round, so there's like two mistakes said. Number one, his father wasn't included, or excluded, I should say, and also he said a different language, so in that case, everybody's going to say that the Nid is not Hal. However, in the case of Ma'amid, that's where you're going to have the Mahloket. So that's basically the Mahloket between Rabbah and Rabbah, where the Mahloket Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel is. The Gemara unsuccessfully tried to prove that Rabbah was right and Rabbah was wrong, and the Gemara wasn't able to. Rabbah was able to answer all the questions that they leveled against him. So the Gemara now says, Etive Ravina le Rabbah. So now Ravina is a question against Rabbah. Rabbi Natan says, Yesh neder she miksato mutar or miksato asud. There's a type of neder that it's partial. Part of it stays on and part of it goes off. Ketzad nadar min ha-kalkala, which means, let's say a person made an edit against a basket of figs. Ve-hayu ba benot shuach. Benot shuach are these superior figs. They're the, very, very good ones. That's what the Rosh explains. Rosh says, te'enim tovim hem, good ones. Ve-amar, and he comes along and says, ilu hayiti yodaya shebenot shuach betucha, had I known that there was benot shuach in this basket, Lo'ayiti noder. I would not have made such a neder. Hakalkala asura benot shua mutarot. So the Gemara says, what's the din? The kalkala remains asura, and the benot shua become permissible. Hacheva, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came along and said, and he taught, no neder shutar miksato hutar kulo. Now, once already excluding yourself from the binot shuach, so now already all the kalkala becomes permissible. So now the Gemara wants to know what's the case. My love, the amar. When he found out there was binot shuach, he must have said, ilu hayiti yodea shebinot shuach betocha. Had I known that there was binot shuach in the basket, hayiti omer te'enim shechorot ulbanot asur. I would have been specific. I would have said like zela ze. I would have said that te'enot, the black ones and the white ones are going to be asurot benot shuach mutarot v'rabi akiva hi. And you're saying that what? It's Rabbi Akiva that says in such a case all the neder is off and therefore everything's become permissible. Upeligi rabbanan. As Rashi what? Rabbanan argue. Now what do you mean? According to Rava, in the case of Mishane, everybody holds that everybody is mutar. And therefore you see that what? This cannot be the proper way that Rabbah understood. Od Pam Rabbah understood what? B'mishaneh, everybody holds, Rabbi Akiva and the rabbis, everybody holds what? Mutar. Mutar lezeh velezeh. Mutar ben Achirim ben Abiv. But here it's Masra what? When the guy comes up and says, oh, had I known there was Benot Shuach, I would have said, lezeh velezeh asurim, Benot Shuach mutar. And what's the deen? Rabbi Akiva holds that everything is mutar. But why only Rabbi Akiva? According to Rabbah, it should say, everybody holds it's mutar. So the Gemara says, "No, you're learning the case wrong." Be Omer, idu hayiti yodea shebinot shuach betochar. I know there was binot shuach in there. Hayiti Omer, kol hakalkala asura, ubinot shuach mutarot. It would have been a case of ma'amid, which means I would have said what I said originally. I just would have said kol hakalkala asura, like I said originally. I just would have thrown in chutz binot shuach. Or, in the case of Ma'amid, that's what Rava said, there's a machlokah between Nava and between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan. And therefore, this braita is going like Rabbi Akiva that says what? Kulam mutarim, because Mneder Chutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo. So Rava was able to answer. Basically, the question was, we thought the case was a case of Mishaneh, we answered, no, it's a case of Ma'amid. Therefore, everything works out according to Rava. Comes Gemara and says, who is the author of the following braita? That's what we're looking for. And now I want to look at this question. We're just trying to find out this braita over here. How does it? Who is the author? Is it Rava or is it Rabba? So comes the Gemara and says, well, obviously they cannot be the author of the braita. Their amoraim means who is the braita going like? Man tana lehad etanu rabbanan. Nadar Hamisha bin Adam. Let's say a guy made a nidid against five people. Right, he vowed himself that he's not going to have an a'ah from five people. Ke'ehad. Hutal le'ehad mehem. Once already he's matir. Once one of them, let's say he found one of them was his father. Right? He's just sitting on let's say the five people. Let's say that's the case. Let's say hutal le'ehad mehem. Once he found one of them was his father, let's say. So what's the hutru kulan? So then everybody becomes permissible. Sounds like it's saying neder shutar miksato hutar kulo chutz me'ehad mehen. Where it comes along and says chutz, which means five are asur, excluding one, comes along and says, oh, I didn't know why my father was part of it. Okay, no, I would have said four are asur except for one. When he says chutz, hu mutar ve'en asurin, he is mutar, that person that was excluded now, and everybody else remains asur. So the Gemara says, "Ile Rabba." If you want to explain this braita like Rabba, Resha Rabbi Akiva v'Sifa Debrei Akol. Ile Rabba Sifa Rabbanan v'Resha Debrei Akol. How are you answering the braita? Let's look at the Ran. He explains it beautifully on Amud Bet. Chavav Amud Bet. Chavav Amud Bet. It is 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6 lines on the bottom. 7 lines actually. Ile Rabba Resha Leze Velaze Rabbi Akiva. Kulomar. Bimishaneh. We'll make the Resha's case Mishaneh. Vesefa de Amar Kullechem. Vedevra Kol. Kulomar Bimahamid. Very good. Which is according to Rabba. How will you learn the Braita? After the Resha is talking about Mishaneh case. And the Sefa is talking about a Ma'amid case. Now let's go plug it in ourselves. Braita said what? Let's follow the Braita. Braita said, "Tar Rabbanan ne nadar mahamisha bnei Adam keechad, hutar leechad mehem, hutru kulan." What's the case talking about? The case is Torah Mishneh, where originally he said five are asud, and then he came along and said, oh, my father was part of the group. I would have said, lazev, 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 and not to my father. So he's changing his words. And according to Rabat, that's the machlok of the Akiva and Hakamim. So the Resha is Mishneh ve'aliba the Rabbi Akiva. Because what's the din of the Braita? Who threw Kulan. Now even, and what's the Sefa case according to Rabba? Sefata is a case of Ma'amid, and it's going according to everybody. Which means, the Sefa, the guy said what? Chutz me'ehad me'em, hu mutar ve'en asurim. And that's Adiba, that's the way Rabba learns the Mahloket of Ma'amid. It's going to everybody. Hu mutar ve'en asurim. So therefore, that's the way we'll learn according to Rabba. And I go back to the Ran. The Rabba Lesha laze velaze vedevre akol. Kelomar b'meshane v'sefa kol lechem v'rabbanan. Kelomar v'ma'amid. Say the same thing, but just learn differently. Meaning, say that the Lesha is meshane according to Rabba, but it's lekul alma mutar. It's not only Aliba Rabbi Akiva, because Rabba holds that b'meshane it's kul alma is matir. And therefore, say the Resha is b'meshaneh aliba dekol alma, and I'll tell the Sefa is b'ma'amid aliba the Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, each one can learn the Braita respectively. Very straightforward. It's Resha is meshaneh, and the Sefa is ma'amid. According to Rava, the Resha is aliba the Rabbi Akiva. According to Rava, it's the kol alma. And the Sefa, according to Rabba, is the Kula Alma. And according to Rabba, it's Aliba, the Rabbi Akiva. Just reverse. Each one holds the reverse. Okay, comes the Ran. It's one-liner in the Chavav Amud Bet, Linyan Halakha. Kaimalan, ke Rabbi Akiva, Aliba, de Bet Elir. Okay, rules. You're going to follow Rabbi Akiva. Like Bet Elir. The Ned is Shutan Meksato, Utar Kulo. Okay, that's the bottom line. Once you're ready, you took part of the neder off, the whole thing goes off. Ufluktad Rabba v'Rabba. Now, who do you go with that machloket? Rabba and Rabba. Because they're explaining how to learn the machloket. Kevan di'ika l'mamad l'cheta k'Rabba, mishum d'avi rabbe d'Rabba. First of all, Rabba was the rabbi of Rabba. V'ika l'mamad l'cheta k'Rabba, but you could say l'cheta zak Rabba. Why? Mishum d'batra'ahu. Because Rabba is a later rabbi. And usually you go with the later rabbis. So what do we do? Naktinan ke Rabba lechumra. We're going to take Rabba lechumra. That what? Te b'ma'amid kulehon asurin ve'abiv mutar u'b'meshaneh. And when he makes a change, ben mefrat teklal, ben meklat tefrat, kulan mutarim. What does it mean? Ben mefrat teklal, ben meklat tefrat. When we learned in yesterday's daf, whether he started off saying kulechem and he switched to zeh lazeh, or he started off zeh lazeh and he switched to kulechem. There's logic either way why he would want to make such a reversal, and therefore the deed is going to be kulam mutarim. That's according to the shita of Rabba. So again, by Ma'amid, everybody's going to be asur and abiv mutar. That's the shita of Rabba. Kulan asurin hu mutar, and by Mishaneh, it's going to be mutar, according to Rabbi Akiva, which we've been posek, v'chem pasak haramban. That's why Ramban is posek. Okay, that's basically really what you have to know from that Ran. If you go all the way down, look on Chav Zayin Amud Rishon, scroll down a little, you'll see after the two dots, v'chatav od haramban zal. Just trying to give you the synopsis of the halachot of the Ran. So the first halacha was posek like Rabbi Akiva, and it was posek like Rabba. That's the first rule. Then he says, that's the Ramban says as well. V'chatav od haramban, da'afil b'meshaneh. Even when he makes a shinui, meaning I would have said this and this, davka b'neder sheutar al yedeh petah, shedome ksat l'nedre ta'ut. That which we said, Mishaneh, the whole thing is batel. That's talking about where they opened his neder through a Petach, like this case over here. If you would have known your father was part of the thing, no, if I wouldn't know my father's part of the thing, I wouldn't have included him. But let's say the guy comes along and says, oh, harata, I regret. If it's broken with regret, in kol haneded nitar elamashu mitharet bo bilvat. Then that makes a chaluk here. Interesting, which means that what you say, neded shutar miksato utar kulo, is dafka if they opened the neder with a peta. If you would have known this and this and this, would you have made the neder or not? Mashikin, if it was mitharet, meaning halata means what? The neder I made, I said what I said, I just regret what I did. There he says you don't use the klal of neder shutar miksato utar kulo. Ava betosafot katvu, dafil nitar bahalata. How do you break a nidr b'harata? The rabbi has to break it retroactively. Retroactively, the nidr is broken. So therefore, once already I'm retroactively breaking the nidr, you can still use the same rule. Nidr shutar miksato, utar kulo. Mikivan shutar miksato, utar kulo. Finished. And that's the shita of the Tosfot. So therefore, it comes out as a machlok of the shunim again. This rule that you say, nidr shutar miksato, utar kulo, on what type of absolving of an edit is applied only by when it was broken with a peta, or even when it was broken with a harata. Tosfos is even with a harata. Okay, comes the next Mishnah. Nidre onsin. What is nidre onsin? Those are nidarim that a person made and he was not able to fulfill the nidir, not because he didn't want to, but because he was honest. Something happened, circumstances beyond his ability. For example, hidiro havero shiyuchal etzo. Guy says, listen, if you don't eat by me, I'm osering you to have hana to me. I mean, such an edit against his friend. V'halahu, the invitee got sick. O shehala beno, or the invitee's son got sick. O sheakibo nahar. Oh, he couldn't get to his friend's house because the river overflowed. And therefore there was interference. This is considered nidre onsin, which means what's the logic? The inviter, the host, never made the neder al da'at that if the guy can't come to his house for a circumstance, they should become asur. He made the neder al da'at that if he's able to come in and show up, then I'm osering him. But if there's circumstances beyond his control, he never had kavanah to be osering his friend under those situations. Look at the Ran. Matnitin, nidre onsin. Hidiro havero sheyochal etzlo, o shehala beno kelomar da'afagav de'lav ones gamuru. Right, the case of beno, his son got sick. You know, that's not really his ones, but somebody else watched the kid. No, that's considered an ones as well. Had el nidre onsin. Why? Lefi shelo ala al da'ato le'eslo nechasav al havero. Im lo yochal imo ela kesheyochal lavo belo ones klal velo yavo. Aval kol sheneenas ksat. Right, which means so long as the guy didn't show up because of an onus, the inviter, the host, never had that in mind. Therefore, the guy is not going to be asur. Good, that's considered nidre onsin. Comes Gemara and says, Zahu Gabra was a fellow, a guy. Atfis zechvate was zechvata bebe dina. What happened? He had a star. Right? That he has rights, let's say, to a certain building, a certain property, and there's claims against the property. Somebody wants to take the property away from him. So the Beit Din says, right, you have proof that this is yours over here? So he comes along and says, I have proof that this is my property over there and all that. And what did the Beit Din do? The Beit Din says, okay, listen, we'll give you 30 days. Give us the property. We're going to hold the deed. And in the interim, you go bring your proofs, to substantiate your claim that it's yours. And in 30 days, you come back. So what did the guy do? Gemara says, "Ahu gabra, that fi sechvata bebedina." They were tofes zechuyot in bedin. They took the shtar. And then the guy says like this: he wants to show bedin goodwill that he's not running away, that he's going to come back. He says, "Ilo atina ad teltin yumin." If I don't come within 30 days, libtelun ani zechvatai, I relinquish my zechuyot, which means that then my claims are not claims anymore. Give the building to the other guy. Which means that if I don't show up in 30 days, that means I'm in default. Give it to the other guy. Look at Ran. Im lo atina mikan ataltin, Yomid Liptil Zechvatai. Hai Gabra Bikesh Be Betin Chitnu Lozman. The guy is asking for Betin. You give me 30 days just to, you know, so I can establish my proofs. Kedetna Besaradin. Shekol Ayot Yesh Lecha Levi Heve. All the proofs that you have, bring. Mikan Vaad Lamidyum. Ubetin Hasheshu Shemalo Amar Kinel Lashmitmen. Who is it already, Rab? They're worried that Betin, this guy's a wise guy. If I need 30 days, please. He's worried he's going to take the shtar now, go to a different Betin, and validate it and take the building. Mm-hmm. So therefore, in order that it doesn't go somewhere else, so they want it, they take the shtar away from him, first of all. He has a claim against his friend. Right? You have claims? You know what? We're taking the shtar over here, so now it's an opposite. You cannot claim it until you bring the ayot. Okay? So the guy wants to show Betin that he's coming back. Hey, listen, if I don't come back within 30 days, give it to my friend, this all my rights. I relinquish my rights. Okay, that's the case. So comes Gemara and says, "Ahu Gabra, the atfi zakhbata bebedina ve'amar ilo atina ataltinu min farak come within 30 days, liptenu nani zakhbatai itnis." Oh, what happened? Honest. Velo ata. He wasn't able to get to the Betin. A river overflowed. Something happened. He wasn't able to get there because he was honest. So what's the deen? Amar avuna Betin zechvata. He loses it. He loses his rights. Oh, so the Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar le Rava anusu. What are you talking? The guy's anus. He couldn't get to the Betin because he was in the circumstances. Ve anus lachmana patre. We have a famous rule. Anus is patur from the Torah. How do we know that? Dichtiv velanala lo taase davar. A case where a girl was raped. So what's the law say? You kill the, you punish the one that did the raping, but the girl herself, na'ala lot ase davar. Why? Because she's anus. What do you want to do for her? She was circumcised, beyond their control. So therefore, Rava is questioning against Avuna. What are you talking about Avuna? Well, why should the guy lose his rights in bet? You know, because he couldn't show up because of onus. Onus lachmana pate. It's beyond his control. Maybe you're going to come and tell me, katala shani. Maybe you tell me, when we say anus lachmanapate, from death. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to kill somebody if they're anus, but maybe for monetary things, maybe there's no excuses. You didn't show up. I don't care why you didn't show up. Because you only brought me a ra'aya from death. That's why we don't kill the na'ara. They say, what are you talking about? We see it's not even only by death. What's the case of the onsin? Hiddiro, avero, shiyokanitso. Behala, hu, osha'ala, beno, osha'kebonar. Hare elu. Nidre onsim. So you see, even in the case of Nidarim, we say what? That if the person wasn't able to fulfill his nid because he's anus, so the nidr is not hal. So you see that the deen of ones lachmana patre applies not only to death penalties, it applies to all cases. So Ravuna, what are you talking about? Why are you coming along and saying that the guy who said that I'll be back in 30 days, if he couldn't show up, why does he lose his zikhuyot? He's anus. Look at the Ram. Maybe you'll tell me that katala is different. When in the case of the na'ara, that was ne'insa, maybe you'll tell me it's different. Maybe you'll tell me why there's death penalty, then everybody can claim onus. But can't say that because nidre onsim. See, Amishnah is the case of the darim, it's not a death penalty, and so you work with the law of onus. Hare elu nidre onsim. The fish law, ala alib madir, ladir amir alok kach. Hachanami gibi matfis, sekmate. Same thing in the case of when they took his shtar in Betin. The guy didn't have any kavanah to relinquish his rights if he wasn't able to show up because of onus. He only made that statement because he thought he was going to be back there. But if he wasn't able to get back because of onus, why should you take away the property from him? Good. Look at the Ravunah now. Now, how does Ravunah answer this question? Ravunah asked him a question from our Mishnah. Hey, our Mishnah, you see what? You go with the din of onus. Ravuna can argue on a Mishnah. So what is what's the hiluk that Ravuna makes in the case of our Mishnah and the case of the guy in Bet Din? So he says, Ravuna, the lo shani demidi, he doesn't answer anything. Mashma, the lo chashe perchem. This question doesn't bother him. Why? Mishum da'at, am lo avi lelimadi latnuye, dema ikhpat le. Very nice haluk that Ran says. You know what the Ran, it says like this. Ravuna, I agree with the case of onus of the Mishnah. When the guy was not able to show up to his friend's house because of onus, I agree, the nedir is batel. You know why? Because the host that made such a nedir, He doesn't have to stipulate explicitly if the guy doesn't show up, be honest, and all. He doesn't got to stipulate anything. Why? Because it's not against him. He's making a neder on somebody else. So he don't care. He doesn't care really. The neder doesn't affect him per se. He's all sitting on to his friend. So that case over there will come along and say he doesn't have to stipulate, and therefore if the guy's an honest, it's not hal and all that. Mashaykin, in the case of the Matfis and the Betin, is affecting him now. When you're coming along, you're saying, he has a farach up in 30 days, my zichuyot are, hey, fella, you better stipulate. But if I'm honest, no, the fact that you didn't stipulate that, then already you're on the hook, even if it's honest. Because there you should stipulate. Avunah is going to tell you why. Because it's about you. Understand? In the case of the Mishnah, I'm not going to mandate the host to stipulate because look back there. He doesn't care either way. Whether he shows up or not, the neder is not on me, the neder is on his friend. So then in that case, I come along and say, even if he didn't stipulate and the guy was honest, I'll say, okay, the neder is not hal. Because he doesn't have to stipulate in that case. Mashiach, in the case where he has to stipulate and he didn't, then already you're on the hook. And what's that case? The case of the Betin. That case, if I don't show up in 30 days, my claims are off. So then it's affecting you. And you didn't matneh. That's Avunah's chiluk. But Rava doesn't make that chiluk. Rava says it doesn't matter. Honest is an honest is an honest. Ben bekatala, ben benedarim, ben bematfis. In all these cases over here, what is an honest? Everything is changed. The guy couldn't show up to his friend's house because of honest. He's not a subhanah. The guy said it, in the case of matfis, if I don't show up in 30 days, according to Rava, he doesn't have to relinquish the property if he didn't come back within the 30 days. Why? Because he's honest. That's the din of Rava. He doesn't make a haluk between the cases. And certainly the case of katala, by the na'ara, murasa, a na'ara that was raped, she doesn't get the death penalty because she is considered honest. We have the law of honest. Now the Gemara has a question against Rava. But Rava, Maishena Mehaditnan. We have a question from a Mishnah in Gittin. Guy tells his wife, guy comes along and says, listen, I'm giving you a get, conditional get. The get is going to be hal from now if I don't show up within 12 months. So if I don't show up in 12 months, the get retroactively hal now. Right? Oh, he died within 12 months. Hare ze get. So the get is hal. By the way, he didn't show up. But the Gibras, what do you mean? Amai veham menas itnis. The guy's honest. I thought once you say guy honest, everything's broken. So therefore the tenai should not be fulfilled. According to you, honest breaks the tenais. Honest breaks the neder. So the guy's honest. If he died within 12 months, okay, honest. No deal. So therefore retroactively, we shouldn't say that she was divorced. So why does the Mishnah say over there that she is divorced? I think I was honest. Okay, what I answers. Amri, Dilma Shariatam, Di'iyava yada demit min the altar. If he would have known he was going to die in the interim, he would have given her a get immediately. What's the Gemara trying to say? What's the reason why this guy's making this deal at all in the first place? Because he doesn't want his wife to die and fall to Yibum. Understand? Because if he dies, without a get, giving a get to his wife, now his wife is subject to Yibum. That's why he says, listen, if I don't show up within 12 months, you're divorced from now, and therefore you're not obligated for Yibum and all that stuff over there. So you see the guy's covered as what? He wants to save his wife from Yibum. So therefore, in that case, you could assume that if he would have known, let's say, this guy, at the time that he's making such a stipulation with his wife, if he knew he was going to die within the 12 months, you could assume that the guy would have told his wife, you know what, I'm giving you a get immediately right now, because he knew that situation. And since that's his intent, you go with the intent of the guy. The guy wants to protect his wife from Yibum. And therefore, even if he's an honest in that case, what he done in the interim, that's not going to nullify the whole thing. Because we can make an umdah. We can assume that, what? That's what the guy wanted. He would have, if he had known he was going to die, adama, that's better. He would have given the get immediately. So therefore, don't bring me an ayah from that case. We go with what the guy's intent over there. Okay, good. So Kavz Gibran says, Maishena Mahu. We have another case over in Gittin. Damalehu Ilo Atina Mikan Altatin Yomin Levegita. Okay, let's say he told the lady, if I don't show up within 30 days, then already you get this hal. He got there. He got back home, but the ferries, there was a ferry strike. There were no ferries. So he couldn't get over the river. Amar lehu, so he's telling them, I guess, the betin, hazu de'atai, hazu de'atai. He's trying to, hey, I'm here. He just can't get over the river. But he wants to show that he's here. He doesn't want to get to be hal. What does Shmuel say? It's not considered that he came. You're not here. We're waving. You're not here. You said 30 days. You didn't show up. Hey, am I? Vaminas Anis. It's Anus. What do you want? I thought you go with the Anus rule, right? Anus rule, all bets are off. So the guy showed up. Oh, it's his fault that the ferry's not working today? So then, well, why are you telling me that the lady gets divorced? To get this hal. Why should he get the hal? He made it back. He just couldn't get over the river. Dilma unsa de migliya shani. A revealed onus is different. Umabira migle unse. And the ferry's not working is a revealed onus, meaning it should have been anticipated. That happens. Ferries don't work. And then you gotta know that. And then, well, that's not considered an onus. Onus is things that are far-fetched, things that may be unanticipated. That's a better word, unanticipated. But you have to anticipate that the ferries are not going to work when you make that neder. And therefore, either you got to come 2 days earlier to make sure that the ferry's going to work. And when you come the last minute, there's no ferry over there, that's your fault. Yeah, that's considered onus. That should have been anticipated and calculated from the beginning. That's not considered an onus. So there's onus and there's onus now. There's levels of, you know, not anticipated, and the guy didn't anticipate his kid's going to get sick. That's, you don't think about that when the time everybody's out there. Okay, that's unanticipated. Not that it's not a common thing, but it's not, you don't anticipate. Mashiach, and the ferry's not working, can it end those days? That was a common situation. You're right. Bottom line now, when he wants to get over, he's an onus. I'm here. It's not my fault. You're right, it's not your fault, but it is your fault, because you should have known that from the beginning. We said in our Gemara, according to Rav Huna, go back to that case of Betin. Guy came to Betin, he has his shtar over here, and his friend has claims against him. Right? Well, actually, the Ran learned it over here, he had claims against his friend. Correct. Right. He has claims against his friend. So the Betin says, okay, now give us the shtar in the meantime and go take 30 days or whatever. The guy says, I'm coming back, don't worry. If I don't come back in 30 days, give it to him. Give the property. Now, this fellow is relying on what? He's relying that he's coming back. When he makes that tonight, if I don't come back, give it to him. He doesn't really mean that. Because he relies when he says such a statement that I am coming back. He's just saying that. That's called in Gemara language an asmachta. Asmachta means literally a reliance. Which means he might say, no question, it's your property, but it doesn't mean to give him the property. Because he's giving it over with half a heart. It's not a full kinyan that he's made because he never expected that he's not going to show up. Now we have a major mahalukah throughout Shas. Asmachta kanya or asmachta lo kanya? Is that enough to make a kinyan? A person that has that, quasi giving over, some say, no, asmachta kanya. I said, as long as he said it, it's kinyan. And some say, asmachta lo kanya. Rav Huna's rabbis, as well as Rav Huna itself, who originally held Asmachta Ye'ez Kanya, retracted at the end, and said Asmachta Lo Kanya. So the Gemara is going to ask a question now against Rav Huna. How could you tell me that even if he's an onus and doesn't show up within 30 days, you give the property to the friend? What do you took? Asmachta Lo Kanya. It's not a kinyan. For somebody to be koneh something, you have to have da'at makneh. The guy has to give it over willingly. He didn't give it over willingly over here. He was relying that he was coming back. And you hold Rav Huna, asmachta, lo kanya. That's the Gemara's question. Look at the Gemara. Rav Huna, mechdi. Let's analyze. Asmachta. This is a case of asmachta. Asmachta, lo kanya. So what are we talking about over here? It's not a kinyan. comes Gemara and says, Shani hacha dimitfisan zichvate. It's different over here. No, it's different. He gave it over already. The shtar is out of his property. It's out of his hands already. Betin's holding the shtar. When Betin's holding the shtar, then already we say he means it. Jeez, when do we say asmachta lo kanya? Jeez, if I'm holding the item, that I'm gonna have to give it to you. Then everybody says, as long as I'm holding the item, I don't think I'm gonna ever have to give it. I'm relying on whatever's gonna happen. It's gonna happen that I don't have to relinquish. But he relinquished it already. She's now already the bet is holding the shtar, right? The mitzvah. So that case over there, when he comes along and says, if I don't take it, take the shtar. If I don't show up in 30 days, take the property. In that case, we say he means it. In that case over there, because it's already out of his possession, so to speak. Okay, then already he's saying, take it, because it's already, you see, he means it. He gave it over already. Yeah, therefore, it's a different case. Look at the Ran. Go to Ran. Ran's an Amud Nishon. The Ran is an Amud Nishon. Look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines on the bottom. Uravuna Mechdi. Asmachta Ahi. Asmachta Lokanya. Dai Gavra. Lo etfis zechvate, ela mishum de samicha date de lete. Exactly. This guy, he only gave over the property because he thinks he's going to come back. The betin. Nechol ki agav na afilu belo ones lo kani. Even if it wasn't an ones, by the way, whenever there's he attaches a condition to his kinyan, we say he never thinks it's going to end up happening. Afagav de ravuna amar bevam mitziad asmach da kanya. Or even though we know ravuna does hold asmach da iskone, kim nan nashas de hadar be ravuna. But we know that Ravuna retracted at the end of his life. Okay, so we saw over there that Rav Nachman also retracted as well. Good. Shani achad mitfesan zevete. Shekivan sheyetzu mirshuto. Already the property is out of his reshut, right? Mitfesan biyad betin leka asmachta. Then already we don't say that it's an asmachta anymore. Asmachta means that when he's holding his assets, then we say what? Well, he didn't intend to give it over. He thought it's not going to happen, therefore he didn't mean full wholeheartedly. But here he gave it over already. They have it. Well, he showed that he has intention to give it. He gave it already. They're holding it. So in that case, it's not a din in asmachta anymore. Now it's a din stam. If he shows up, he shows up. If he doesn't show up, he doesn't show up. That's already he gave it over. It's out of his possession. Good? Mm-hmm. Comes the Gemara and says, what are you talking about? Ve'echad mitfesan lav asmachtai. I'll show you a case, even where it's in somebody else, he gave it over, and still we say, the laws of Asmachta apply. What's the case? Vatenan. Okay, guy, let's say he paid part of his debt. He owed $1,000, let's say. Right? So the Melveh comes to him with the shtar. Hey, you owe me $1,000. You know what? Here's a 500, partial payment. Now, let's talk it out outside. What do you usually do in such a case? Now, the guy's got a shtar of $1,000. He cannot keep that shtar anymore. Because I paid 500. I don't want this guy walking around down Betty and he's going to collect another 1,000. So what they do is, usually they take the shtar, they rip it up, and they write a receipt. Right? I received $500, and therefore he takes the thing, so we know it's partially paid. Good. But sometimes, let's say, they don't want to write a receipt. They don't have the ability, whatever it is. So what they do is, they just get the shtar out of the Melvir's possession. What they do is, they give the shtar to a third party. It's called to a shalish. So now already the shalish is holding on to the shtar, so at least the malveh is not able to come and claim it anymore. And the shalish knows what happened. He paid $500. Therefore, he's holding the shtar. So that's to protect the loveh. Good? So now let's see what happened over here. His shlish, meaning he gave the shtar to a third party to hold it. And he comes along and says like this. Im. He wants to, he wants to show the Malveh that good faith. He says, if I don't come up in 30 days and pay the rest of the loan, he tells the Shalish, give him back the shtar. What do you mean, give him back the shtar? Then he's going to be able to claim the whole thing, which means then what I gave him initially was just a matana. That initial $500 means nothing, and he can come along and claim to me in Beit Din full payment. Right? Higi azman velo natan. The time came, 30 days passed, whatever it was, and he didn't give the money. The B.O.C. omer yitin. The B.O.C. says, okay, you made a deal. Deal's a deal. The B.O.C. omer lo yitin. He doesn't have to honor that. What's the machloket? V'amarav Nachman amarav Babar Abu amarav. En alacha k'nebi Yoseh de'amar asmachta kanya. Which means, what's the logic of Rabbi Yoseh in this machloket? He says it's asmachta, which means he was relying that he was going to be able to pay it. Something happened, he wasn't able to. But he says, so what? Asmachta, you said it, and therefore you're obligated to abide by your word. You got to pay it. Asmachta is kanya. The kinyan is a kinyan. You owe him the money. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda was holding this case, no, this is asmachta, asmachta lo kanya. What's the pshat? When the guy said, listen, I'm coming in 30 days, well, something happened. He wasn't able to make it. But he didn't intend to give it over because he really thought he was going to come over. But what do you see? You see that this case is subject to the rules of Asmachta, even though he gave it over already. Which means, technically, the shtar is in the hands of the shalish. It's not like he's holding the money anymore. Already the shtar is in a... They're holding the shtar. Somebody's holding the shtar over here. And still we say what? It's a machloket if you're going to say asmachta or not. Just so similarly, don't tell me that Ravuna doesn't hold of asmachta in the case of the shalish. You're going to tell me that asmachta is kanya in the case where somebody else is holding it. Here you have a case where the shalish is holding the shtar. And it's still a machloket of asmachta. It is subject to the laws of asmachta or not. So therefore, you don't answer the question. Look at the line on the bottom. Vishlish taro. So one line. Shirato biyat shalish. They gave it to a third party. Rabbi Yose Omer Yiten. Rabbi Yose says, you didn't show up after 30 days? Now, the shalish has to give the shtar to the malveh, and he can get full payment now. The Sfira Asmachta Kanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lo Yiten. The Sfira Asmachta Lo Kanya. So that's the question of the Gemara. So what's the Gemara's answer to this question? Gemara comes along and says... Shani acha, de amar liptilan zechvate. Different mechanics over here. When we talk about asmachta, we always are referring to a case where the guy's saying, listen, if this doesn't happen or whatever, I'm giving over my money. Right? Take the money. The money belongs to you. The classic case of asmachta where they talk about is, let's say, in gambling, right? When people are gambling, so he puts the money on the table. Hey, listen, if I lose, you can tell me I'm giving you the money wholeheartedly. So if you say asmachta lo kanya, he didn't intend to lose. In his mind, he's relying that he's not going to lose. And so when he says that, don't worry, you can take it. That's not really giving it over wholeheartedly. If you hold asmachta lo kanya, the guy never anticipates to lose. When a person sits down to bet, he bets to win, not to lose. If we didn't anticipate it. So that's just an example. It's a monetary thing. But you know what the case over here in the Betin story was? He wasn't transferring money. Because when it comes to money, then you get involved in the asmachta kanya, lo kanya, you're right. And maybe I'll tell you, if that's what happened in the Betin case, when the Betin took his shtar, and you hold that asmachta is not koneh, so I'll tell you, maybe if he didn't show up after 30 days, it's nothing, because he relied that he's never going to have to make good. But that wasn't the case. The case was took, he didn't relinquish the assets. He relinquished his claims. What he means is, he said like this, if I don't show up in 30 days, any claims that I come along with are false. Therefore, my claims are not claims. He's trying to prove that the property is his, right? If I don't show up in 30 days, whatever claims I say, it's shikir. In that case, that's not already an asmachta on money. That's already on. He's coming on to say, I'm modeh that my claims are shikir. Okay, modeh the claims are shikir. That's already, that doesn't work with asmachta rules. That works with stam, a guy just saying that the property here doesn't belong to me. Which means, the way he says it over here is, She'en omer kim b'torat kinyan. That's the point. It's not a kinyan over here. I'm not saying my property will go to you. Mm-hmm. That's kinyan over here. I have to be makneh my property to you. No, I'm being mevatel my claims. I'm mevateling claims. That's not a kinyan of kinyan anymore. That's not a smack that works by kinyan. Listen, I'm going to give you this item over here if I don't show up within 30 days. I'm thinking in my mind, there's no way I'm showing up. It's never going to happen. Therefore, when I don't show up, I'm not going to give you this because I never meant to be makneh. For you to own this property, I have to be makneh. I have to have a da'at that I want you to be koneh. That's asmachta. Asmachta lo kanya. Even if it's in somebody else's hands, asmachta lo kanya. Like the case of the shalish, I didn't intend it. So what the Gemara is answering, you're right. Take the monetary off the table in this case over here. When the guy said lebatel zachmata, he didn't mean that I'm relinquishing my zikah and the property belongs to you. He meant to say I'm relinquishing my claims in betin. Now once already I'm relinquishing my claims, so the guy, the claims don't exist anymore, so automatically the property is going to go. But it wasn't on the property, it was on the, well, whatever I say in betin is going to be false. But don't believe what I say. Okay, so in that case over there, he says, she'im lo yevu b'tuch she'im yom modeu l'havero sh'da ayotav shekinen. Ve'en hoda'at ba'aldin hasom mishum asmai. Let's consider hoda'at ba'aldin. Which means, what's hoda'at ba'aldin? A guy comes along and says, I owe you the money. Finish, that's not asmakta. That's an admission. There's nothing greater in beddin than hoda'at ba'aldin. Which is, we thought now it's working mitam kinyan. Kinyan meaning I'm going to transfer the property to you. No, not the transfer asmakta lokanya. He thought he's coming. I'm not transferring anything. If I don't transfer 30 days, it's not mine. I have no proofs. Exactly. Substantial, nothing. I'm lying. I'm a liar. That's not my property. It didn't belong to me. Give it. Oh, that's already hodat baldin. You're admitting that's not yours. That's not asmakta. It's not a transfer over here. This guy's saying, listen, the whole thing is a lie. I'm a liar. Don't take it away from me. So therefore, that's why the deen is going to be, according to Navuna, that what? That the Kenya, that it does go over if he doesn't show up within 30 days. Vilcheta. It's Kedai. Kedai just to see how this is working. I'm going to read you the synopsis because the Ran is Mari here. He says, Yesh Mari Shnim Shepreshu et Terutze Gemara Shomekim Betuat Mechila. How is this working? It's working like a mechila. Kegon shemeduba shaya yachol leutzi mamon mechavro b'shtar zeh. Let's say he had the shtar. He could have extracted money with the shtar. Umochel lechavro ala mamon. And he's mochel. You know what? If I don't come up in the dirty days, I'm mochel the mamon. That's what's going on over here. Ve'u'il ve'enu b'tchayif hathaybut hadasha. It's not a new hithaybut. It's not a new obligation. It's a mochel al chob mamon sheyesh to miyad aher umiyad zochem uchaviro em bezechasot shel asmachta. Ve'rak kishemitchayev hithaybut hadasha shel mamon umakne lachaviro betnai shel asmachta en ze mo'il. Which is, they want to say that when is asmachta kicking? Asmachta kicks in on, let's say, new monies that are not on the table, or if he's coming along and putting a condition on the monies. But when he comes along and says, listen, the monies that are there to you, I'm not being makneh. I'm being mohel. I'm mohel. I'm mohel, that's not a deen of asmakta. To makneh the money, that's already a subject, but not mechila. The Ran doesn't agree with that. The Ran comes along and says, after mechila in asmakta mohel. He says, mechila is the same thing. Mechila, I'm not mohel. I wasn't going to be mohel if I thought I was going to come. Whether makneh or mohel, doesn't make a hiduk between mechila and kinyan. And he learns the case that's talking about, like we said, it's not the deen in mohel. Look at the Ran itself. If you want to see it inside, just look at Chavzayin Amud Bet. It's right before the line of Hilketa Asmachta Kanya. See, it says, Ela hachi pirusho? Shani hacha de'amal libtelan zechmatek kolomar. Shumode, shim lo ba leoto zman sheda ayotav betelot kolomar shem sheker. Like we said, Tosafot, it's not that he's saying my ra'ayot, he's just saying, I'm mochel to you. The Ran argues, even if you didn't mechela, mechela is also working with the Asmachta rules. Bottom, if you didn't mean it, so not just like a kinyan doesn't work with a reliance, so too doesn't mechila. The Ran says that, the Pshanov is talking about where he just said what? My ra'ayot or not ra'ayot. Okay, very good. Now what's the halakha l'maaseh in this Gemara? Gemara concludes, Vilcheta, bottom line, Asmachta kanya. Okay. So that's the first thing. Speak that out with me, Asmachta Kanya. When the guy comes along and says, puts a stipulation, if this and this happens, it's your money, that's considered already a kinyan. And now he didn't anticipate that the thing's going to happen, he's going to have to give the money, doesn't matter. He wasn't able to show up after 30 days, whatever it was, you owe the money. That's it. Kinyan's kinyan. Asmachta Kanya. But there's two stipulations here. Asmachta Kanya, vi'u de lo anis. So long as he's not an anus. which is if there's an onus over there, then the smart does not kanyan. I mean, it has to be without any onsim attached. That's like a rava. Right? Wasn't that rava now a sugya? Rava argued on Rav Huna. Rav Huna came along and said, even if the guy didn't show up to Beit Din because he was on it, it doesn't matter. He's got to give the money. Rava said, what are you talking about? The guy's onus. Onus rahmana patre. Not only in death penalties, onus rahmana patre all over the place. So therefore, yeah, asmakta kanya, but not because, not where there's a onus. And then the last deen, vehu dekanu mine bebet din hashuf. That which we say asmakta kanya is davka where a kinyan was made in front of a betin hashuv, a significant and important betin. What exactly is this last condition? I understand asmakta kanya. I understand the case where there's no onus. What do you mean the kinyan has to be done in a betin hashuv? So explain like this. He says like this. Hoda'at ba'al din hu kema'edim. We know that already, right? When a guy admits, that's the biggest proof in the world. I owe the money. Can it be anything stronger than that when the guy himself is admitting he owes the money? The way the Chazal interpret that is hoda'at ba'al din. That's like me'a'edim. That's like 100 witnesses coming along and saying he owes the money. That's the best thing. I owe the money. I owe the money. He's from his mouth. Ve'ena siricha kinyan bederiklan. Generally speaking, you don't need to make a kinyan on such a thing. His words alone are considered obligated, and the money belongs now to the next guy. Ulama devarim amri bo'oda gimura shemodeh adam la'or beli shum tenai lo chen adavar b'yana matfis sechiyotav shebesugiyotenu. Not so in our case. Shemodeh rak b'tay im lo avo b'toch 30 yom. The guy's modeh over. If I don't come within 30 days, my claims are nothing. I'm modeh that I owe the money. That's not a complete hoda'ah. It's a hoda'ah with a stipulation if I don't show up. Naniyah, if the guy just came along and stood in front of the betin, I am modeh, I owe the money. Goodbye.
That's it, finished.
Well, that about, I don't need kinyan, I don't need nothing. The kinyan is done. Here, it's quasi. Why? Because he's saying, listen, if I don't show up, so therefore it's still pending, right? Such an item for the transfer to take place, they have to make an official kinyan for the transfer to happen.
Wow.
For the kinyan to take place, the third stipulation is what? It has to be done in front of a betin. Lefi shehazaka al adam she'eno meshate bebetin hashuf. Guy's not going to fool around in front of a betin. Ve'gamar bedato laknot lachavero. Ve'arei ze kemi shemakne lachavero ve'omer me'achshav.
Which means, we're worried in a regular case, I'm going to say, what? Asmach takanya. That's a regular case. But in the cases like this, like the case of Matfis, where he did it in front of you need a betin to make the kinyan. Why? Because in this case over here, we put a condition, it's not 100% admission. If the guy came along conclusively and said, listen, I admit I owe the money, goodbye. But in the case over here, where he says, I admit the money, I'll tenai, if I show up, I'll relinquish my rights, then already we need to know he's serious. So in this case over here, the Gemara is saying, he has to make the kinyan in front of a betin hashuv. The betin has to, listen, what you're saying now, we're making a kinyan right now, that's hal. But then already we know that he is serious. Normally, asmachta kanya in a regular case. But in a case like this, you need a kinyan in front of a betin hashuv. Okay? And what does the betin hashuv do? Because he's not going to lie in front of a betin, which means we could assume that he's not fooling around in that case. So that's the three cases. Let's review again. Asmachta kanya, so long as there's no onus, vehu dekanu mine bebetin hashuv. Then we say the asmachta is going to be kone. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen. Amen.